Welcome to Purifying Truths with A-Star. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today. Today we have a repeat guest, Miss Sue Thomas. So for those of you that do not know, she's an author, she's a woman of wisdom, and such a breath of fresh air. If you missed the first interview, I encourage you to go back and listen to it and get to know the phenomenal woman that we call Sue Thomas. Welcome to Purifying Truth, Sue.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you, Miss Amelia.
Understanding that the first interview, we were talking about your book, and even though you have expanded that book into audio and so much more, we are not going to talk as much about it because they can go and listen to the first podcast. We're going to dive a little deeper today. So, Author Sue, please tell us about your childhood and your culture, because even though you are American, you and I look alike, our cultures are a tad different. So let's talk about that, please.
Well, I was born in Haiti, so I consider myself Haitian American, because my first language is Creole. However, I am Americanized because coming to this country as a seven-year-old, growing up in Brooklyn, New York, learning English as a second language affords me that right to say, okay, I was born in Haiti. Where's your accent, I'm asked? How come you don't sound like them? Well, I grew up in Brooklyn, as I said. My surroundings, my peers, my friends were Americans or are Americans. Of course, Brooklyn is diverse. Of course, I have Jamaican friends. I have other friends. But I'm known as primarily Haitian American first.
Mm-hmm. The Haitian culture, from many of those that are African American, we think of you as a group of people that work together, that get things accomplished. And certainly, you go after what it is that you want and you have a heart to serve. Is that your perspective of Haitian Americans?
Most of us are hardworking folks because we have people back home to send money to take care of. Not only are we paying rent, mortgages up here, working sometimes overtime to take care of family members back home, whether it's a grandparent or a sibling, or even our children. We come here just like Southerners came from the South to the North, and you work hard, you send money. It's the same concept.
The work ethic definitely to be commended.
Thank you, but it's a matter of survival for us. Those islanders or Haitians or any other group that come up, you have to take care of the younger sibling. You have to take care of a parent. Like the Jamaican way, they're saying, oh, you're so lazy. You only have two jobs as opposed to 10, because we have to do so much more with those funds. So your work ethic, you're taught, okay, you have to look out for the next person and make way for them to come and do better and be better in a new world.
I completely appreciate that, because in today's society, we often see so much selfishness, where you portray selflessness. I do commend you and those that are like you. What inspired you to write? And what type of books do you write?
In my case, I didn't set out to write. I'm a nurse by trade. My situation didn't bring me to journaling. I've always doodled and journaled, but not as passionate as infidelity. I was journaling to just get things off my chest. And from there, I combined my blog, my Facebook posts, along with my journals. And that in turn turned into my first book, A Three Ring Circus. It was me getting things off my chest and journaling from day to day, what happened to me such and such a day. And then adding affirmations along with scripture. And thus we have the book, A Three Ring Circus, which is available on Kindle, audio, and paperback.
Yes, yes. We talked about that in the first interview, but you didn't stop there. You went on and wrote I forgot to forgive myself. You had overcame the obstacles in a three-ring circus, yet you wrote another book that helps so many in a different way.
Well, I can say that I mistakenly thought that one and done, I'm done with therapy and things are peachy keen and go on. But then something started happening to me with tearing constantly. And I had to delve in and go back into therapy and see what was the matter. Mm. Apparently, I didn't clean up. Let me put it blatantly. I just thought that, okay, I'm done with therapy. Things are good. So whatever, whatever. But the underlying issue was still bothering me. And I had to go back and delve into that and deal with those traumas. Mm-hmm. And when I did that, and I said, oh my goodness. And at the same time, when I was dealing with that, there were a lot of events happening around suicides and attempted suicide. We had Miss World, I think Miss Universe or something jumped out the window at the time. We had a few stars, their children committed suicide. And I said, this is a problem. So I started writing.
The name of the book is I Forgot to Forgive Myself. What a powerful title and an even more powerful read. Please tell, how did you overcome the shame, the embarrassment of the circus to get to the point where you were able to pick up the broken pieces?
Prayer first. Prayer, without that, you cannot do anything, because prayer allows you to cleanse your heart. It allows you to forgive yourself. And secondly, I had to delve into myself. Accountability plays a big part, because we're busy pointing fingers at others. We don't deal with our issues, coupled with the issues at hand, the trauma, we're not going to get far. So I had to dig into myself. I had to pray. I had to learn forgiveness. And lastly, therapy. Mm-hmm. Therapy and therapy. You can be at 10 per week. You can be at 5 per week. You could even be at 1 per week or 1 per month. But therapy should be ongoing, because there's so much that we hold in and harbor in. And it festers and it's going to blow. Mm-hmm. My therapist allows me to analyze things myself by asking questions upon questions. Well, why do you think this? And then I have to face it. I have to look within and deal with it. And that allows me to unload.
I love that you brought up you're a nurse, and also that you're human and you go through things, because many times in society, if you're going to therapy, you're automatically stamped with a label. But if truth be told, therapy is good for everyone, because we've all been tainted by some sort of toxicity that we need to, as you say, release or cleanse from. Therapy is nothing to be ashamed of or nothing to shy away from. It actually helps, even if things are peachy keen. So I appreciate your transparency and bringing that part up. Of course, I agree that prayer is the utmost importance, but that forgiveness, that is the stumbling block for many of people. How were you able to forgive? Because you let out some taboo topics, some things that we usually sweep under the rug in the first book that happened to you. What made you not only forgive yourself, but forgive others? I don't believe they deserve the forgiveness, but I understand why. You explain, please.
Firstly, Amelia, forgiveness is for you, first and foremost, because you're without that, for harboring that hate or what happened to you. And I say trauma is whatever is happening to you. Your trauma may not be mine, but whatever your trauma is, dealing with it head on. So if you're looking within and say, you know what, and I'm going to use myself as an example. I kept hearing people, or these people, tell me that I wasn't good enough, what I did was wrong, that I should go back to my husband, that why didn't I see things happening in my household? Why didn't I notice? And we as Haitians don't leave our husbands. We stick with it through thick and thin. And I was sick and tired of that. And that's what was playing over and over in my head, which was making me be internally sick. That's what was drawing the tears. And I had to deal with me, forgiving me, realizing it's not my fault. I didn't do anything. I was the faithful one. I was the nurturing wife. I was the haven that I guess my ex-husband was coming to. It had nothing to do with me. Even if I were to do backflips, I could not fix him. And once I realized that, I was on my way to the next step in my healing journey.
I love that you call it a journey. Yes, the healing journey is so very important. And you touched a little bit on culture and religion. Those things have such a poignant part in our lives as far as decisions that we make. We are shunned by either our culture or religion, and many times both. It's supposed to be this way, or it should be that way. But I stand with you when you say that your road may not be my road, and vice versa. Everyone knows how to live the other person's life perfectly. I am reminded of what my grandmother used to say, sweep around your own porch before you come sweep in mine. Culture and religion is important, but it should not be used to condemn or judge. That's what happens, especially when we get in a situation such as you did. I'm so grateful that you learned to forgive. I just cannot believe what you've been through. Certainly you don't look like it, and you don't act like it. And that in itself tells a story before we even open page one. For those that are overcoming obstacles in their life, whatever that may be, what advice do you have for them?
For me, I tell people journal, date and journal, and go back maybe a week, a month, a year later and see how far you've come. Are you stagnant? Are you repeating the same things, the same mistakes? Are you not growing? Are you evolving? Journaling does that for me. I still open my book and I look and see, say, for example, if I use January 2020, how far did I come from that, where I was crying constantly, where I was just, you know, I couldn't even tell my story. I was in tears. And I tell people, time heals all wounds. It may not seem so at the time, but I promise you, with prayer, persistency, affirmations, just tell yourself, complimenting yourself, you will see a difference when you look back from last year to the year before as you journal, because you will be on an elevation, on a forgiveness pattern. And the forgiveness, you have to forgive yourself first. You have to incorporate self-forgiveness, self-love as part of that journey. And it does get better, I promise you. Another thing is therapy. Therapy is essential, whether it's group therapy, if you can't afford therapy, a good sounding board person, a good best friend that you can trust. A coworker can be a sounding board where you can unload and that person can listen. All you need are ears, and you can be an ear to someone as well. Self-care, very important as part of that journey, whether it's a walk to just clear your mind, whether it's getting your nails done or your hair done. All of that is self-care, incorporating something good, something pretty, an outfit, a beach day, self-care. And being accountable. We forget to take ownership to whatever it is we're dealing with, whether it's a childhood issue from molestation or being battered or whatever. We have to deal with it head on so that we can overcome those hurdles. Because to have it buzzing in your ear over and over, that's what makes us sick. That's what made me sick. Mm-hmm. I wasn't being accountable and owning, okay, these people are no longer going to have control over me. I'm owning it. And that's my advice.
Words of wisdom from a woman who is wise. We have to hold ourselves accountable, do a self-evaluation, and then practice self-love. All of those things will help contribute to a healthy and whole person. And when we speak health, we're not just speaking of physical health, because if you don't take care of that mental, it will spill over into the physical. So they are connected. Your newest book is I Forgot to Forgive Myself. We are going to have an exclusive read of that in just a moment. But I do want the audience to know that I have been privileged to co-author Soaring Above Life's Chaos with Sue Thomas. And even her contribution to that is a must read. She has overcome so much, but yet she's a shining star. She's like the sunshine, shining bright for all to see, shedding light on dark situations. So today, if you're facing a dark situation, I encourage you to tune in, listen to, take advice from what Sue has been through, what Sue talks about, stands for, advocates for, because she didn't get this from school. She's got this from the journey of life that she's on. Also, beginning next month in SARS Facets Book Club, we will be reading and discussing in depth Soaring Above Life's Chaos. So please get that. It's also on Amazon. You can get it directly from Sue. But now, let's take a moment and listen to a chapter of I Forgot to Forgive Myself.
Chapter 1. This doesn't apply to me. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Face it, we live in a mean world. What is particularly sad is that some of the meanest folks are familiar to us. In my journey of finding self-love, self-care, and self-discovery, I attend not only therapy, I participate in group sessions, and I am also sharing my story and listening to other people's stories on social media. I also pray because I feel spiritually connected to God. For me, prayer is a requirement for when I wake up before doing anything else. Then, if I am not at work, I would join the application on the phone to exercise and listen to their encouraging mantras at the crack of dawn. Yes, physical exercise. And they occasionally lend their listening ears to me. And guess what? I listen to them too. You know what I have learned? Some of us are dealing with so much. However, the interaction was welcoming and brought positive vibes and energy. I felt it was not just me and my baggage in the rooms on these platforms. I was getting other people's doses, and it drew me in like a warm blanket. I bonded with so many folks because on some level, I could relate to them. I get anxious from time to time. However, you know what else I learned? Anything can trigger someone to recoil into anxiety and or depression. What is anxiety? I think it is a feeling of worry, uneasiness, and nervousness. Well, you might say, this doesn't apply to me. Perhaps not. But I bet you know someone that this does apply to. I'm just saying, you do not know what someone is going through or have gone through to make them feel some type of way. To say, she has a mean mug. She's so unapproachable. Looks depressed all the time. She's slow. She is so emotional. He is constantly cleaning something. She's a Debbie Downer. He sleeps all the time. She's got ants in her pants and can't sit still. The odds are that someone has labeled us one of these books. That is why the saying goes, don't judge a book by its cover. I say, read it first. But what is depression, Mass? It is an illness that may negatively affect how you feel, think, or act. So what's your point? My point is, this can happen to any one of us. You just never know. So be kind. How can these things happen? Is it because some of us are nervous, anxious, or depressed? I cannot answer that. I am not a therapist and cannot give advice. Besides, mental health is a broad topic, and there is no magical right or wrong answer. Furthermore, anxiety may be triggered by almost anything that is traumatic to the person who is experiencing it. Personally, this applies to me, as I too experience anxiety at times. Also, depression varies, and so do its root causes. It may be that someone became depressed due to experiencing childhood trauma. Not knowing where one's next meal will come from may make anyone depressed. Someone may have inherently developed it. Perhaps it stemmed from feeling guilty for not wanting to be a parent. It may simply come from being unemployed or displaced. Depression may be because you suffered a long-time illness. One can have all the money in the world and live in a mansion, yet still suffer from depression. It may be from something one did, but decided to keep the secret forever, and it is now haunting. It may be due to being bullied. It may be that someone wanted to be a parent, but never became pregnant. It may be depression from losing a pet who had been a companion for over 15 years. It may be suffering from battered person syndrome, from domestic abuse or elder abuse. A jarring experience may be from child abuse or being molested as a child and the experience was ignored, hidden, or suppressed by the person or the guardian they entrusted. It may be a miscarriage. Maybe someone is suffering from survivor's guilt. Maybe someone was angry because when they stated that they were physically abused, no one believed them. It may be because someone imposed their label and did not accept the person's sexual orientation or gender identity and wanted the other person to change. So now this person is depressed for not having had the courage to come out. It may be that someone is suffering from postpartum depression. It may be because someone felt abandoned because they were adopted or left behind. It may be from being beaten with an Egros cord as a child. It may be from verbal abuse. It may be because someone felt unwanted. It may be from PTSD from war. It may be deeply hidden in a subconscious mind to yet be discovered. It may be from being attacked. It may be from having an abortion as a young woman and blaming themselves because when ready, they were unable to have another child. It may be from mourning, a loss so deep they remain in the shadows of depression for years. It may be because as a child, they saw a parent do drugs and could not help. Perhaps if our trauma happened at a young age, many of us did not have time to process it, which leaked into depression. It may be that someone is suffering in silence. Many of us are broken. Our past was our norm. However, we do not have to normalize it. It's time for healing. To discuss a trauma may be depressing to some. I can go on and on about what we may be suffering from. And this means whatever it was that applied to the person looking in the mirror who experienced the trauma, depression may come from any trauma that is only known to the person who went through it. Yes, I fit into a few of these categories. Perhaps you don't, but I bet you know someone who does. We should not let them remain invisible. I cannot tell anyone how to feel. Many of us internalize hurts and take ownership of it. Hurt is not ours to own. Some of us experience nightmares from this. As a result of hurt and pain, many of us manifest our trauma differently.
I thank you so much for sharing that with us. And as I personally was listening, it was as though you were speaking to me. I dare say your book is a form of therapy, just like journaling, just like talking to that sounding board. So certainly we appreciate you sharing that with us. What's next for you? What do you have on the horizon?
Oh, what's my vision? My vision is for me to continue to inspire folks, because I aspire to inspire, continuing to do book signing. I will be delving into webinars, speaking engagements, of course, and perhaps even still writing. Maybe I'll have a third book in the horizon. Who knows?
We are definitely excited and looking forward to everything that you have, understanding that what you do for others. And we appreciate you more than words can express. Thank you so much for being on Purifying Truths. How can the audience connect with you?
Firstly, Amelia, I'd like to thank you so much for this fantastic interview. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And my handle, Author Sue Thomas, on any platform, including LinkedIn, Author Sue Thomas, AUTHORSUETHOMAS. And my website is authorsuethomas.com, where on Amazon, you can find A Three Ring Circus available on Kindle, paperback, and audio. I forgot to forgive myself. The audio versions, you guys heard an excerpt today, but that comes out next month in October on audio. Right now, it can be found on Kindle and paperback only. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it is a pleasure. And for those of you that have not gotten the first book, what are you waiting for? It's on Amazon today. Please visit Sue's website. She has so many other trinkets and gifts on there as well. Follow Sue Thomas on Facebook, Instagram, all the platforms, TikTok, at Author Sue Thomas. You will not regret it.
I am so happy to have shared my story with the world. I thank everybody, all the supporters. I encourage you to never, ever give up, no matter how dark or how dim things may seem. Tomorrow will be a brand new start, a brand new day. Never, ever give up. That's my motto. Never, ever give up. Get up, go for a walk, breathe. Tomorrow is a new start and a new day. And I promise you, the sun will come out.
Yes, yes, yes. I too agree. Don't give up. Don't quit. You're closer than you think. You too can connect with A-Star on Facebook and Instagram at Facets of A-Star. Join us every Saturday at noon for exciting new guests who illuminate the world in the various facets of life. Shine bright.